From the Jackalope Studios, high above the city in the beautiful Barrie View Castle, welcome to the Harmony Health Hour, reconnecting spirit, mind, and body, with your host, Dr. Daryl Drumright.
You're not the only one I've ever had, and if I say I want to set you free, don't you know you'll be in misery? They call me
Dr. Love.
They call me Dr. Love.
Call me Dr. Love.
I've got the cure you're thinking of.
Call me Dr. Love.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Drumright coming at you from the Harmony Health Hour on a Friday night. Every crack a cold one open, and we'll get down to business tonight. We're going to cover verse number 50 and 51, where Lao Tzu really starts getting serious with us. So you're going to like these two. And then we're going to go into some radiation protection stuff, because that seems to be the talk of the town. We've got a global glow going on right now, and our heart goes out to all the people in Japan right now. And hey, we got a friend out there in England. Is that right, Todd?
Yep, good old Gary is listening to us there.
Gary's got us on his iPhone.
Gary Lee listening to us.
Hey, speaking of iPhones, if you haven't thought about it yet, Chevy or the GM truck has stopped production because of lack of components, because the component factories were in that province of northwestern Japan. They're not making those parts anymore, so the production of cars are dropping down. So if you don't have your iPad and you don't have your iPhone yet, you probably ought to go get them like this weekend, because you guarantee the prices are going to go up as the components to make these phones disappear off out of the stock shelves.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
There's a we live in such a short-term society. Everything is instant gratification. All you got to do is step back a little bit and look at these kind of tragedies and look long-term how the ripple effect down the line is going to occur. And there's the Japanese may not make the big things that you buy, although they do some of that. They make a lot of the little things that go into the things that you buy, and you're going to see a stockpiled problem with that in very short order within the next couple of weeks. You already saw production of the GM truck stop yesterday because of lack of components.
I'm kind of thinking they make a lot of the big stuff I have, though, like my video game systems. Those are all Japanese. Yep. Without Japanese, we wouldn't even have the computers we're using today.
No, dude, 1.5 million Japanese homes are without power, without water, without. And it's cold over there, freezing right now. So, I mean, all the heartfelt you can go out to it. I've been watching international and Japanese television because our television doesn't talk about it much. But to me, I mean, with my Oriental or Eastern mindset, I mean, I go to sleep at night thinking about the dojos lost, the culture lost, the history gone. I mean, there was two or three communities over there that reported one of them had a population, the normal community had a population of 14,000 people, of which 10,000 are missing.
Man.
So imagine a nice community of 14,000 with its own manufacturing, its own self-sustained, very proud people, that not only is all the infrastructure completely gone, two-thirds of the population are missing.
That's just, and you know, we also have on jackaloperadio.com, if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see a Jackalope Gives Back, and that's for the Japanese cause. We're giving money to them now. We're not doing it through the Red Cross because it's just so. For me, I have an issue with the way the Red Cross distributes the money.
Yeah, bureaucracies just eat up money.
It is. So I've got a couple of places that are directly linked. I mean, they're going directly into Japan.
Excellent.
And that's the way to do it.
Well, I want to make a donation there because I really, my heart goes out to these communities that, you know, they built 10-meter tidal walls around them. And they were sitting there in their living room thinking they were safe.
Yep.
And Mother Nature had different plans when that topped the wall.
Homeless people, everybody. I mean, there's missing seniors. They had the homes for seniors that were taken away. I mean, they're gone. They don't even know what happened to the people that were in there. It's really horrible what's going on. And I urge everyone. I put $40 in myself. I urge everyone to give us even a dollar.
Yeah.
You know, go over to jackaloperadio.com and donate something so we can send it over there.
Yeah, because this is a proud people. I mean, they will rebuild. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah. They're already starting.
But you think about it, though. A community that loses two-thirds of its population and 100% of its infrastructure. I mean, that is beyond your imagination of what you could possibly tolerate. Grandma, grandpa, your house, your photos, everything about your whole life
gone
is wiped out. Just gone, taken out to sea. You're, if you're lucky, one of the one third that actually survived. Now you're living in sub-zero degrees temperature in a gymnasium with 1,000 other people with no power, no water, no phones. You know, you're talking about a high-tech society that's dropped back down to the Stone Age, and they're bringing in water and shelter. They were talking about all the gas stations are out. It can't be filled with gas because the ports are so overwhelmed with food and water coming in that the tankers are sitting offshore, and so all of the gas stations are out of gas, and you've got a commuter society. Now, the trains don't run because the power's on and off and doesn't run right. I just saw pictures of Tokyo tonight with about 80% of the power across Tokyo turned off. The population is off the streets because there's a information of a nuclear cloud moving towards Tokyo right now. And so everybody's staying off the streets, and then the airports are totally jammed with people trying to get out. They're trying to literally evacuate a city of 12 million people.
That's not going to happen, yeah. It's crazy. Now, did you notice, though, when the gas thing happened, they didn't go in and spike our gas, the gas prices there to $11 a gallon like they did here on 9/11?
Mm-hmm.
That tells you the difference between the countries right there. The Japanese, they didn't go in there and try to ream anybody. The gas prices stayed the same until they ran out.
Right, right.
You know?
And you've seen an advancement in the international manipulation of this as for an unprecedented time, the G8 banking, what do they call themselves, the... I call them the money masters.
I call them the Illuminati.
Yeah, the Illuminati have come together to devalue the yen.
Yeah,
because the speculators, and then you got to admit, the speculators are cruel and gruesome people.
They
were going in there shorting the yen or saying that thinking that it's going to increase value because all the Japanese people, which own $1 trillion in American debt, have got to repatriate that money on the rebuild. So they were trying to get in ahead of the game and buy up the yen in order to profit off of it.
Bastards, yeah, man.
So now you've got the governments that have to step in to keep the piranhas from profiting off these people's loss. So I'm torn between, I don't like government interference and stuff.
But in this case.
Yeah, but when you've got profiteers in here that have international scope and power that'll go in there and just rape you blind and they profit off suffering. I mean, something's got to get in the way.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, that kind of tore me up there to say that these guys have no authority. They're not elected officials to go in and manipulate the market in such a way. But if they didn't...
Well, I'll tell you, Dr. D, on Night Watch, we talked about this, and it's when we first developed the charity site there to give, because we already give to a couple charities, but we wanted to do this thing for Japan. And so we put it up there on Night Watch. The next day I got an email from a guy, mm-hmm. and this is the exact problem, saying, we need to help our own, not a country that wants to take over the world. And I said, hold on a minute. Mm-hmm. That tells me how uneducated you are. First of all, I don't even know why you're listening to Night Watch. I really don't. Second of all, maybe you should be listening to, one of the other talking head shows on Fox TV, because the truth of the matter to me was, Japan and Germany are the most peaceful countries in the world now. They've learned from their past mistakes.
Right.
They're moving forward. And I admit they've made mistakes, but we're still making them.
Well,
and so, we don't really.
And you gotta think that the cult of personality was a picture of the 20th century, where you had the global population of people were becoming politically aware, but they were the media was controlled and the news outlet was controlled. So you had populations that were grossly misinformed of what was really going on.
Yep.
So they were participating. It's not the people that are doing anything evil,
no.
Although they would follow orders and do bad things.
Right.
And the Japanese were far worse than the Germans, by the way.
Right, right.
But it's the leaders. And actually, to me, it's the cult of personality or that misplaced trust for each individual to actually look for a leader. You shouldn't be looking for a leader. You should be leading your own life. And in the balance of leading your own life, you will know in your innate or in your heart whether what you're doing is beneficial or not beneficial. And if you find it to be counter to survival or your own understanding of what's right, don't do it.
Right.
I agree. And as an oath keeper and an American veteran, I mean, it's a very important question I always ask myself that, if you're in the military and you're given orders to shoot on civilians like they're doing across the Middle East now, you are not supposed to follow those orders. And matter of fact, in the American Army, you're taught that it's your duty to disobey an illegal order.
Yeah, I don't think it always happens that way. But.
Well, it doesn't, because you have a lot of sadly some low IQ people that have no capacity to actually think it through, and so they find their trust or their comfort zone in just doing what they're told. That way, they don't have to second guess or anything. They just do what they're told, and then they've got chain of command that'll protect them.
That's right.
So they keep their security literally by not thinking about it, and that's where it gets scary.
I agree.
All right. Well, we wandered off topic really quick here, but man, I tell you, this week has been the most news-filled, busy week on an international basis that I have ever seen in my life. I mean, things are happening so fast, and we're coming up on tonight. The moon is a full moon, as close as proximity has been to the Earth in 21 years, I think I was hearing.
Yeah.
So we've got a proximal full moon on March 19th. That's aligned up with the equinox, which is 21st, which is this Sunday. And then I was looking at, and I had to confirm this, there's some websites out there that show you planetary alignment, so you can set a date, and it'll give you a three-dimensional picture of where the planets are. And right now, you've got an alignment of Saturn, Jupiter, Earth, Moon, and Sun. So you've got a solar system tidal force going on over the next 4 years, or 4 days, that is a very, very special or a rare moment. And then you've got the Pacific plate that's been sliding around for the last year. You've got, there was a Chilean earthquake on March 22nd of 2010. And then on February 22nd, 2010, on February 11th, 2011, you had an earthquake in New Zealand, a mega earthquake in New Zealand. And you look at that, runs right across the southern hemisphere. Then you turn north, and you got one in Japan last Friday. Okay, that's now you come follow that Pacific plate on around. Where the next one's going to be? Very likely there's going to be a natural release of the Pacific pressure plate somewhere in the northwestern North American area. They're thinking around Seattle area, something like that. So thoughts and prayers that say that doesn't happen, that we can get through this tidal force, this solar system tidal force, and not have the Pacific plate break loose in the northwest United States. But if it's going to happen, it's going to have, it's very increased odds it's going to happen this weekend. So be safe. Stay away from fault lines. Did you hear about that bridge in California that slipped into the sea, or that road?
Yeah, just barely.
40 feet of road just fell off the side of the mountain, side of the hill, and slipped into the ocean. Closed down one highway just south of Monterey. They said it'll be closed for weeks, and there's whole regions of the western coast now that are cut off. You can't get to them because the road's gone.
Jeez.
California's falling into the sea, folks.
Well, at least that part.
Well, you can't trade it to China, though, if it falls into the sea. So we got to, like, keep it around a little bit for trading purposes. All right, let's get to the Tao Te Ching. We've spent 15 minutes on current events. We're going to read verse 50 and 51 tonight. Verse 50 is the forces of life and death. All right. Every one of us is born, and everyone dies. I say that a lot in my office. So, you know, no matter how much you take care of yourself, in the end, you're going to die. However, there are 3 of every 10 seem to be born to live. 3 seem to be born to die. And 3 live life lifefully or deathfully according to their chosen lifestyles. But only 1 in 10 seems to survive all dangers. When walking through the jungle, she never fears the rhinoceros because there seems to be no place in her to butt his horns. She never fears the tiger because there seems to be no place to sink his claws. And she never fears weapons because there seems to be no place their steel can penetrate. This is the fulfilled person of the great integrity who leaves no space in life for premature death. Commentary from Dr. Dale. Chinese medicine identifies 2 main sources of vital energy, or called qi, that determine our ability to survive adversity. The first is called yuan qi, or genetic qi. It is the vital energy we inherit from our parents. This is what we would call like DNA, and your genetic power or color of your eyes, these kind of things. The second is called hao qian jiao, or acquired qi. It is the vital energy that derives from our lifestyle, that is from the air we breathe, the food and drink we ingest, our exposure to the sun and its full spectrum light, our actions and emotions through which we relate to others and to our environment and to the people. and their chi with whom we most directly intersect. So you see, you're influenced by the planet and the environment around you. You're influenced by your own behavior and emotions. And you're influenced by the chi levels or the overall direction of chi of the other human beings you find yourself close by. Four kinds of people are differentiated here according to their life force, which protects them, or their death force, which threatens them. Number one, those who seem to have been born to live. These are the three of every 10 people who Lao Tzu identifies as having inherited a strong Yuan Qi from their parents. You know, like athletes and people that just are vitally very strong people. Those who seem to have been born to die because they seem to not have selected their parents so wisely. Now, remember in the ancient Chinese culture, the continuation of the spirit is integral to the understanding of the circles of life, or what we would call reincarnation, although that's not a very good conclusion or summation of what they're really talking about. It more means like you are a permanent fixture as a spiritual being, and the body comes and goes, and you get different stories and different lessons as you pass through different bodies. Number three, those whose choice of lifestyle determines whether they live lifefully or deathfully. Those who lead a lifestyle that supports their vital energy thereby facilitate their own health and longevity, while those who lead a lifestyle that challenges and insults their vital energy weaken their health and invite an early death. And this is an example of St. Patrick's Day around here yesterday. I know a whole bunch of people that did some lifestyle yesterday that shortened their life expectancy by a good measure. Number four, lastly, are those who seem to be impervious to harm and premature death because they live in harmony with others, with the universe, and with themselves. This, of course, is living in the great integrity. Today, although we might be fortunate in inheriting a strong genetic chi, and we might choose our lifestyles relatively wisely, we cannot live entirely in the great integrity because our social environment is more or less a contradiction of the great integrity. This contradiction is manifested in most of our institutions, whether family, work, religion, schooling, sports, leisure, politics, economics, medical care, or whatever. Since we are all social beings and cannot avoid growing up in the womb of these predominantly corrupt institutions, the nearest we can come to living the great integrity is by rejecting many of their values, premises, and behaviors. Instead, we can follow Lao Tzu's alternative consciousness, transforming our own personal lives as we participate in the transformation of our institutions. It is only after we succeed in attaining these goals that any of us will be walking the waters, never fearing that weapons will harm us, because there will be no harmful weapons in a planet that embraces the great integrity. Yeah, Dr. Dale kind of runs off on that one. I mean, he really hits it on the core. We were talking about the NFL this fall. There's a split between the players and the owners of American football, because the players want in on the profits. They think there's more profits being made by the owners on franchising and all the marketing and all that stuff. And the owners want to dictate to their employees, the players, direct negotiations on how much they're going to get paid.
I got to interject. I think they're all a bunch of greedy jerks because they make more money than anyone should be allowed in a sport.
Absolutely.
Really.
And then that's what Lao Tzu is saying here, is that the entire sport, and see, here's the thing is, somebody came in the office today and said, well, you know, what are there going to be NFL this fall? And I said, you know what? This is all a big game. It's a mind game. There will be NFL this fall because in the fall, it's election season in America. And they would much rather have you talking about the NFL and your favorite sports team than they would you talking about politics. Because if you get a bunch of people start talking about politics, they start figuring out that they're not really in charge of their own life, and things can happen a little bit more than sitting down on Sunday drinking beer, eating potato chips, and watching a bunch of gorillas out there beating on each other. Yeah, the entertainment industry, the sports industry, the of course the banking industry, the healthcare industry, the energy industry, everything in our culture now is designed around corruption and greed and who you know, not what you know, that there's no honor in it, even the legal system. And I get this straight from the judge's mouth, okay? I've got friends on the bench, and the legal system is based on an assumption that you are already under jurisdiction of their codes, and they can change the codes whenever they want without telling you, and you're just supposed to be subjected to that and hire a officer of the court to negotiate your what do they call it, your pleadings, that you're not, they don't ever want to go to a jury or anything like that. It's all about making money. It's like, this money goes here and that money goes there. If you don't feed the system, they'll come take it away from you. Don't try to hold on to anything. The whole system is completely out nuts and out of control. I tell you what. All right, Todd, are we ready to take a first break here? All right, let's get a song in here. Let's cheer up a little bit. It's Friday night, you know. We got a lot more worse problems out there than what we're dealing with here in America. It's a sunny day in Kansas City. It's springtime. It's planting season. I'll see you in a minute. This is Dr. Drumright, Harmony Health Hour.
Listening to Dr. Daryl Drumright and the Harmony Health Hour on Jackalope Radio.
Hey, this is Dr. Drumright back in the Harmony Health Hour. I tell you what we're going to do because of what we did the first portion is we're not going to get into verse 51. We're going to save that for next week and get on to our main topic this week, and that is radiation poisoning and radiation exposure. I understand that some of the particles released in the initial explosions at the Japanese power plant have reached California today. It takes about a week for, I guess, the air from Japan to come across the thousands of miles of ocean and start interacting over here in the North American continent. The wonderful thing about the World Wide Web is you can access websites right now live that show you the millirad exposure at sites all over the North American continent. And last I checked, everything's staying pretty consistent. The West Coast and the mountains running about 30, I think they're called microrads. And then the rest of the country is about 10 to 15. So there, I haven't seen any kind of upticks. There's places that they're broadcasting 24/7. They've got their camera sitting on their radiation detectors and just putting it on the web. I mean, this internet stuff is awesome. So what is radiation? I mean, why is it harmful to you? And what's all this big scary thing going on here? Let's start at the beginning. Radiation is a highly energetic molecule, okay? It's like a rabid dog, okay? It's a crazy molecule that's running around, and it just randomly interacts with the other molecules. So when you get a radiation molecule that's passing into your body, what it does is it releases a lot of this extra energy as electrons onto the molecules, the more stable molecules that make up your body. When that happens, you get a cascading effect of what in medicine terms we call C-reactive proteins begin to form. Now, where does radiation come from? There's a number of sources of radiation. You're exposed to it every day. The sun is probably our biggest source of radiation. You're being pounded by gamma rays, alpha rays, light rays, all kinds of radiation coming from the sun. Your cell phone is emitting radiation, microwave radiation, into the side of your head every time you put it up there. And when your head gets warm, please take that thing away, because that radiation does similar damage to some of the nuclear radiation that everybody's freaking out about right now. Other sources of radiation, your microwave oven is a good source of radiation. Your television is a source of radiation. Your computer, your car, anything that has an electromagnetic field in it or electricity is going to emit some forms of radiation. Now, some of the most of this radiation is normal, and it's not harmful to you in as long as you don't consolidate and concentrate the doses. And what I mean by concentrate the doses is your body has natural defenses for this kind of exposure. It is developed on the planet Earth under high radiation or moderate radiation exposure. So there's plenty of mechanisms within the cell population called your body to purify itself and clean itself out. One of the most important things, if you're worried about radiation toxicity, radiation poisoning, is you need to make sure that your body at the start is toxin-free. So you want to make sure that your bowels, you're pooping good and your bowels are moving good, that your kidneys are working good and all your elimination channels are healthy, that your blood is clean and flowing, and you're exercising and doing all the things I always talk about. Just having yourself in a higher state of wellness gives you an automatic resistance to the stressors that radiation causes. You see, radiation isn't just it's not like injecting a poison into you. It's one form of poison that's going on affecting your body. And this form of poison is going to accumulate with other toxins that are going along with you on your day-to-day routine. So the foods you eat, the water you drink, and like Lausu talked about, all these other things that are a part of your day-to-day lifestyle, accumulate, and then when you have this risk of additional radiation exposure, that's going to add to the mix and put additional stresses on your body, which can lead to disruptions of cells and make you sick and even kill you. So when the radiation hits the body, some of the things it does to your body, it affects cell structures. It can literally break down the proteins that make up the cell membranes and destroy the organelles and the Golgi tendons and the different things that are inside the cell. It can disrupt their activities. It can disrupt enzyme activity. Now, enzymes are complex molecules that the living organism uses to stay alive. It's like a key into a lock. It's the magic combination that turns on the cells or opens the channels and gets life going. When you hit one of these enzymes with a high energy particle, it can explode or disrupt the enzyme. So if you get a lot of these high energy particles into the body, it can disrupt enzyme capacity for the body. And when you have low enzyme capacity, you wind up with things like diabetes or a decreased blood function. I mean, even things like brain damage and stuff like that can happen because of not enough healthy enzymes in the system. Enzymes are a form of proteins, but there's other form of proteins as the building blocks of the organelles and the regenerating power of the cells. Remember that your body's only 6 weeks old. The 2 trillion cells are constantly regenerating, and in that regenerative activity, they're building new proteins 24/7. If you're hitting these building of these fresh proteins with a high energy ion from a radiation exposure, then you're going to disrupt the cement and the brick and mortar of these proteins as they're put together. When the proteins come together and they're not proper or they're not at their optimal level, then you're building cells that are weak and frail and have a much less strength of their qi, like we talked about with Lao Tzu. So you're breaking up the enzymes, you're breaking up the proteins that build up the cells, and you're disrupting the current cell structures all at the same time. This leads to cellular death. When you have an acceleration of cellular death, you're going to have organ failure, tissue failure, and death of the system or the organism that you call your body. So small amounts, large amounts accumulates with other toxins, and it can definitely be harmful to your health, but not something that you're going to by itself in the exposure that we're looking at here in America by itself be damaging. Now, if you're anywhere near that nuclear reactor as it's melting down and going hot, you need to get out of the area because the effects of radiation do accumulate. These high energy particles, if they get into your body, they, like I say, they start reacting with other molecules of your body, making those high energy molecules, and you get a cascade effect. So the more you're exposed to these high energy molecules, the more disruption is going to occur, and it can definitely be fatal. I tell you, a samurai honor to the men that are in those plants right now trying to put water on those exposed rods, because with a evacuation at 20 to 30 kilometers away from the plant, these people out there are getting 50 to 100 of the units of exposure. But inside that plant, you know these men are being exposed to 10 and 20 and maybe 100 times that. They're getting at any one time exposed to 500 to 1,000 units of radiation at a time. And these are fatal levels. A fatal level of radiation is about 750 rads of radiation is a lethal dose. It breaks down the organ tissues and does kill you in a very miserable way. 200 rads at any one time will make about half the people sick. And these people, although they are wearing their nuclear suits and they're protecting as best they can, you know the heroic measures, and you just know the honor of the Japanese culture that these men, that is their job to protect their country from this exposure, and they will stay until the job is done. And God bless them, because that is a very honorable activity that they're undergoing, and most of them will probably die from that activity. So a little honor and respect for these samurai men. They definitely deserve it. They didn't put the nuclear power plant on the coast in a tidal wave pool. Somebody else did that. They're just sacrificing themselves to try to protect the rest of their culture and society there. So exposures here in America that are much more dangerous to you than what's going to blow across the Pacific Ocean. Probably, and I don't know if you know this, but I did a lot of research in thermal imaging a few years ago. I actually purchased a thermal imaging camera. I remember Todd, that we took it on a ghost hunt because that was a really cool camera. For instance, looking for breast tumors, a thermal scan can pick up a breast tumor up to 10 years before a mammogram can. And a mammogram uses ionizing radiation, which is what we're talking about here as far as causing cancer, where a thermogram is completely passive. You take a thermogram to check for cellular activity. It shows you if you've got an increased activity. And then you combine that with a sonogram, which is sound. You can isolate a three-dimensional picture of where the mass is, and then combining that with the thermal imaging, you can see the cellular activity of it and the location and size of it. There's absolutely no reason to be using ionizing radiation in medicine today. And yet, when I talked to an obstetrician about this, He was quite confident that the radiation doses in a mammogram are very small, even though the breast tissue is highly sensitive to ionizing radiation. He offered his opinion that what he's really more concerned about is the aggressive use of computerized tomography or CT scans. One CT scan, which is used in emergency rooms and hospitals across America today, is the equivalency of 400 chest x-rays. So when you go into the doctor's office and you get a chest x-ray, it's an equivalent radiation to background radiation of about 2.4 days of just being out in the sun and in the radiation. So when you go get a CT scan, you're getting 2.7 years of your life's accumulated radiation all poured upon you in a few minutes. And many people that use the emergency room as their primary care doctor are getting exposed to multiple CAT scans. Multiple CAT scans, remember, this is accumulating, okay? You're talking about the exposure of 400 x-rays, chest x-rays, each time you go into the hospital and get a CAT scan. So I want to highly discourage the use of CAT scans unless absolutely necessary. We have magnetic resonant imaging or MRIs, which are not radioactive. You have sonograms and thermal imaging, which are technology that's been around for 20 or 30 years, well-developed technology. They use it in combat to find people to shoot at. Why can't we use it in healthcare to help reduce the exposure to ionizing radiation and help people be more in control of their health and be a healthier situation in society? That is your biggest exposure to radiation. And of course, like I said, your cell phones, your microwaves, your Bluetooth. If you put that Bluetooth thing inside your head, you are microwaving your head, brothers. It's not a good thing. Now, what I recommend you do on the cell phone is use the speakerphone or use just the wired speakers that go to the phone. Nothing that broadcasts or actually transmits should be placed alongside your head. I lost a very good friend to brain cancer, and the tumor developed almost on the size and shape of a cell phone on the side of his head. And this is not uncommon. You probably, many people out there know somebody or has experienced a brain cancer of a similar pattern exposure. So these are the things that cause radiation poisoning or cause toxins to the body. Todd, you ready for another commercial break? And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about things you can do to reduce your risk when you are exposed to radiation or exposed to these kinds of toxicities. This is Dr. Drumright, the Harmony Health Hour. I hope you're enjoying it. The phone number is 310-928-7857. Feel free to call in whenever. JackalopeRadio.com. We'll be back in a minute.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more. Once I rose above the noise and confusion, just to get a glimpse beyond this illusion. I was soaring ever higher, but I flew too high. Though my eyes could see, I still was a blind man. Though my mind could think, I still was a madman. I hear the voices when I'm dreaming.
There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary Listening to Dr. Daryl Drumright and the Harmony Health Hour on Jackalope Radio.
All right, this is Dr. Drumright. We're back for our last segment here, and we've talked about the radiation and damages it does to your body and how it affects you, and we're going to get into some things you can do to protect yourself. Now, like I said before, the most important thing to protect yourself is keep a healthy lifestyle. The more chi or strong life essence you have in your body to begin with, the less damage any kind of traumatic event, and we call traumatic event would include exposure to a radiation surge, the less damage it'll do to you because of your overall health and well-being of the body. So when the radiation hits the cells and the proteins and molecules of the body, it begins to disrupt them through a high-energy transfer of electrons. This is, in medical terms, we call it C-reactive proteins. You get high-energy proteins that are passing, cascading this high energy around and breaking things apart and disrupting stuff. So what you want to do is you want to dose yourself up on what you've heard of. It's called antioxidants. You've heard of these: vitamin C, vitamin E, vitamin A, B vitamins. These are all antioxidants. And what antioxidants do is they have places for these extra electrons to bind to. So they basically offer themselves as sacrifice to the high energy molecules and therefore neutralize the damage being done. The more antioxidants you have available in your system, the more these are going to absorb the high energy molecules and protect your more precious living molecules That make up the cell membranes and the DNA inside your body. So high doses, we're talking about 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C on a daily basis. We're talking about vitamin E of upwards of 400 or 500 international units of vitamin E. Vitamin A, I haven't seen it, probably 250. You don't have to really go crazy with vitamin A. 250, 300 international units of vitamin A. Believe it or not, exposure to sunshine produces a large amount of vitamin D, and vitamin D has got a very powerful preservative antioxidant effect throughout the body. So as you can see, a little bit of exposure to radiation from the sun is actually helps the body prepare itself for protecting itself from the damages of radiation. The living body is an amazing place. It has just these innate intelligent things that just happen automatically that are built-in protecting mechanisms that just surprise and amaze me each and every day. Some other things you can do if it's radiation specific that you're worried about. You hear everybody, potassium iodide is sold out across America. Did you hear about that, Todd? A major run across America. They're out in all the health food places where I buy product and I'm a distributor for. They sold out of potassium iodide. The philosophy of potassium iodide is when you have you have noble gases released from these nuclear reactors, one of the radioactive material coming out is radioactive iodine. Well, your thyroid absorbs iodine and uses iodine to produce the thyroid hormone, which keeps the metabolism and everything going on your body. So this is a military strategy that what you do is you dose up on iodine and fill all the receptor sites. It's like fill all the seats of the stadium with iodine from a supplement so that when the bad guy iodine comes around, it's like you can't put any more water in a glass that's already full. So that's what that strategy is. Don't take high doses of potassium iodide unless you've already been exposed to radiation. This is not something you want to do on a regular basis because it can mess with the thyroid. It can cause disruptions and balance with your calcium and magnesium and other minerals in the body. So if you have some potassium iodide and you're one of the ones that ran to the store to purchase that, don't start taking that as a prophylaxis or any kind of preventive measure. Watch the millirads and the exposure in your area, and if you see that your radiation exposure is going up, then you can take the potassium iodide as a preventive to occupy all the iodine receptor sites in the thyroid. But a little less aggressive techniques that we recommend around here, something that's very common, it's in your refrigerator probably right now, is baking soda. Baking soda can be used as a drawing agent. You take a bath in baking soda. And one of the articles that I've been reading is that you don't want to buy baking soda at the grocery store if you're going to take baths with it. You can go to eBay, go to the internet, and you can buy it in pound quantities, and it's a whole lot cheaper. It's calcium bicarbonate, very common chemical. It's very cheap, but if you're buying it in the little 12-ounce boxes, you're going to pay a lot of money for it since you're going to put basically a box in a bath every time you do this. So taking baking soda baths draws the radiation and the toxins out of the body. Now, this isn't just for radiation toxin. Most of these things, just like everything, is very holistic in our approach around here. You can use these techniques when you're exposed to medical radiation, if you've had chemotherapy or any kind of cancer treatments or aggressive x-rays, CT, stuff like that. These treatments can be effective to minimize or reduce the damage caused by that type of radiation exposure as well. A more advanced is mix the baking soda with sea salt. Okay, you mix the sea salts will absorb into the body and occupy the salt receptor sites and prevent you from absorbing the radiation molecules. And then, of course, the baking soda as a drawing agent, sodium bicarbonate. Sodium bicarbonate mouth rinses are used for people with mouth cancers and tongue cancers. And when they've been radiated to kill off the cancer, they're instructed to wash their mouth off on a regular basis with baking soda to help stabilize the tissue and reduce the damages of the radiation. Other things that you can do, there's an amino acid called cysteine. You probably heard of homocysteine. And cysteine, these are a group or a population of amino acids that are called sulfurated amino acids. They have a sulfur component in the amino acid complex with oxygen and hydrogen and nitrogens. These are immune system enhancers and also very potent antioxidants on a protein basis, so they're water soluble. Cysteine can work with methionine and cysteine and cysteine. These all work together as a detox version of amino acid complex. You can get these at any health food store. This is something I've never tried myself. It's called calendula flowers, available from herbal and health stores. It makes an excellent tea to be applied topically for severe burns and skin outbreaks. A couple teaspoons in a bath or a tea, rub it directly on the skin. Echinacea. Echinacea is immune system enhancement. So if you see echinacea is going to be successful, you're going to see all your garlic, which is also a sulfur-based compound. So garlic can be helpful. You can see a theme here that everything you do to protect yourself from radiation poisoning is the same thing you do on a daily basis to keep your general well-being and the cell population up and healthy. That's probably enough for you guys to know about. I mean, those are simple things that you can get out of your own refrigerator and use yourself. You may need a trip to the health food store. But ultimately, what you want to do is stay calm. It's very unlikely that this radiation in Japan is going to affect North America with any kind of significant health risks or consequences. Spend your time thinking about the people in Japan that are there in a portion of the society that's been wiped away, and now is who knows what's going to happen there. Now they're talking about a Chernobyl-style entombment of these reactors, encasing them in concrete and sand to bury them and put them away. Lots of good questions have come up about the spent rods being sitting there in an exposed pool. We have the same problem here in the United States. We're going to have a very serious conversation about this, because this is the third time the significant problems have occurred with this type of energy. I suggest we go back and read Tesla's, what he was teaching us 100 years ago on passive energy production, local energy production. The nuclear plant is an inexpensive, as far as that's concerned, way of producing massive amounts of electricity and then putting that on a grid to broadcast out and sell to the people. But there's a much better way, just like any other parts of our lives, is you decentralize the production and actually have each household and each factory producing its own energy, using combinations of green energies, wind, sun, and Tesla's magnetic generators and motors. I'm getting some plans to build one of these motors right now, and we're going to use the Boy Scouts and projects. I'll try to keep you guys up on the radio station of how that goes. Supposedly, there's been a recent reinvention of some of Tesla's work that produces a magnetic-driven electrical motor that is what we call 130% over unity. In other words, it produces 30% more electricity than it consumes to run the engine. And if this is provable and doable, it is a big change for the evolution of mankind, because we would no longer need coal power plants, nuclear power plants, or any kind of centrally produced power. Power will be a free, not free because you'll have to buy the equipment yourself, but each household will produce more than an abundant amount of energy for all of their needs. And literally in Missouri, if you produce more energy, I don't know if you knew this or not, in Missouri, if you produce more electricity locally at your house, and you're on the grid, the power companies around here have to buy it, the extra electricity from you. So with a few simple techniques, with some of Tesla's work, a solar panel, a windmill or a turbines kind of situation going on, I see in the very near future a situation where a frugal household can actually retire off the extra energy that they're producing in their own home. They're completely self-sufficient and producing their own power and electricity, non-radioactive electricity, non-damaging, totally green, no pollution, no carbon emission type electricity, to a level that's beyond their own needs. And then they take the extra and sell it on the general market. Now, of course, if everybody starts doing that, there won't be a general market because everybody will be fully equipped and powered up on their own. And that's the kind of world that Lao Tzu talks about. That's the kind of world that I'd like to see, a kind of world where freedom is reigned supreme and that fear is squashed. And you know, we played Rush earlier. One of my favorite lines from a Rush song is, ignorance, prejudice, and fear walk hand in hand. Fear is a false evidence appearing real. Whenever you're looking at somebody else and you don't understand what they're saying and you evoke the power, the emotion fear, then you want to suppress them or destroy them because you're afraid of them. Well, I challenge you to have the courage to understand that every single human being is a unique perspective. They have a unique point of view. They cannot have your point of view because you're unique as well. Each of you have your own point of view on life. Share it, but don't force it down someone's throat. And with the sharing is comes the respect that their point of view is equal to your point of view. Not superior, not inferior, completely equal. Even if it's completely opposite of yours, you need to understand that in order for you to be free and healthy and well, you have to respect their point of view as another person equal to you. And with that, I think I'll end it for the night. Everybody have an awesome weekend. You know, our thoughts go out around the planet here. We've got the Libyans are going to have a big final finale this weekend. There's major stuff going in Bahrain and Yemen, the Yemen crackdown. Let's hope and pray that they stop killing people. Young people that are fighting for their freedom are putting their lives on the line so that they can live the life that you and I take for granted around here. I love you all. This is Dr. Drumright in the Harmony Health Hour coming to you from jackaloperadio.com. Well, peace out. We'll see you later.